The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Whoa, how long have we been gone? Seems like forever. It does. Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Proud to be so. Happy to be with you this week. This week's episode for November 9th, 2007. After a week off.
Yes.
So, do you feel rested?
I do. And I want to say well-deserved, but, I mean, do we really work that hard? No, we do.
Speak for yourself.
It was a good battery recharge week.
Yeah, definitely. And it seemed a lot longer than a week.
Yeah, it did.
Because I got that email from you, and it was a really long email. And usually, you know, our emails back and forth aren't very long. And at the very end of it, you're like, I haven't seen you in a week. It seems weird like this.
Yeah. I always think of that episode of Scrubs, the man love episode.
Right. The bromance.
Yeah, the bromance, right. Yes. It's sad to say, but yeah, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you to everybody out there in TalkShoe land. Appreciate you being here if you are within the sound of our voice on this lovely evening. Please give us a call at 724-444-7444. And the TalkCast, ID number is 46670. So hopefully TalkShoe will get this whole matter figured out where you don't have to be on the chat in order to talk. I mean, which you don't, but you have no way of telling us that you want to talk. So the whole, you know.
Yeah, that's
the whole purpose of it.
A little problematic, but.
Right. So how was your Halloween?
It was good. Yeah. Kind of uneventful. You know, the unfortunate thing is I do look forward to seeing trick-or-treaters and all that kind of thing. But the place where I'm currently residing is a condo community. And I may be the – but besides my fiance, I'm the only one – we are the only people under the age of 87 that are in – that's in the whole thing. So
there was a lot of trick-or-treaters?
There was very little chance of us getting any trick-or-treaters.
Did you get any?
No, we got none.
None?
Absolutely none.
No.
And I can't say I was a surprise because, I mean, even if you had kids, you would take them elsewhere because it's not going to be any fun to go get nickels from from the other people that are in there.
I always hated the role of pennies.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if people still do that anymore. I was actually talking with a girl that I work with, and she was saying for the kids that have like the nut allergies and stuff, she gets those little things of Play-Doh. I'm like, wow, that's actually really cool and creative.
Yeah.
I felt kind of, you know, inept because, I mean, the best thing I can give them is, you know, like a Hershey bar with no nuts
right.
in it. I mean,
here's the plain Hershey's.
And I said, this little girl that lives next door to me, she came over to trick or treat and she sees the little Hershey's in there and she's like, ooh, that's safe candy.
It was next to the apple that you had in there and the bag of candy that you put in yourself. They're going to pick the safe one, my friend.
The safe candy. Well, she turns out she's got the allergy.
Oh, there you go.
Allergy. So anyway, so I was glad that I had something for her. You know what we ought to do? We ought to thank our official sponsor before we get into more Halloween talks. We have some more coming up here with the Rebel Scum costume contest. But thank you to Official Picks, your source now. Not only for official Star Wars autographs and photographs, how about Indiana Jones? So kicking off things with that great photo that you saw that was released a few months back, the very first official photo of Harrison Ford in the Indy garb, sitting in the chair, looking older, but still better than you and I will ever look. Yes. Anyway, that is now available at officialpicks.com, so check that out. I'm sure that that's just the first in what is going to be many Indiana Jones offerings from Official Picks. They're also running a special, and Pete, you actually sent this to me, $2.99 each for a limited time, kicking off the holiday season. You can stock up on fully licensed, of course, Star Wars 8x10-inch photographs for only $2.99, a 40% savings off the regular price. So choose from more than 1,000 images online from all six Star Wars films. Photos make the perfect gift for friends and family. Don't delay. Sale ends November 11th. That's like really, really soon.
Yeah.
So you got just a couple days as the show gets posted. A few more days as the show is live tonight on Wednesday.
This really jumped out to me because, as you know, everybody knows, and following the saga of me eventually getting married, we had engagement photos.
Oh, yeah.
And we have the opportunity to purchase 8x10s as well.
Well, you did engagement photos?
Yeah. They came free.
Oh.
The photo session came free. The kicker is then you have to buy the photos. And the 8x10, which is $25.
Wait. This person showed up on a Saturday afternoon. You were at home alone. Right, they knock on the door and sell you this package. Is that how?
No. These are actually friends of mine, so I know they're legit.
Okay. All right, that's different.
So you know, and they're very nice photos, but you know, again, they're expensive photos to get them. I mean, they're very nice, but hey, $3 for a Star Wars photo or $25 for a photo of myself. There's no contest here. I will Photoshop myself into the Star Wars pictures first.
That would make a better engagement. Little do they know that that's really the
that's the route to go. Heart. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But anyway, check them out at officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. That promotion code is NOV, like November-thank-you. All in caps, I guess. So that's at the checkout page. You can get that discount. That's a considerable discount, I would say.
Yes.
If you, we were talking a little bit earlier about Halloween. We did take a week off. We appreciate no one getting too upset about it. We didn't get any real.
No, we didn't get very much hate mail.
But you know, there's so much content, you know, for them to listen to.
Yeah.
While we were gone, I mean, there was a lot of microcasts that Jimmy'd put out and you'd put out. So there was plenty of stuff. And I know you didn't listen to it all, even now. I see the numbers.
You're still coming back. Yeah, I hear you.
But anyway, the Rebel Scum costume contest, the winners will be announced tomorrow as we record the show. So by the time we get to next week, we'll have full coverage of the winners and their names and everything that they received. There's a great gallery. You got to check it out. Pete was just looking at it before the show started. My vote is for Little Grievous.
Yes, I did like Little Grievous, and I liked the other ones I liked were the AT-STs,
yep,
and yep. The Boba Fett Transformer. I thought was
that
cool.
Was pretty cool. Yeah,
that was very very creative.
Even though I loathe the Boba Fett Transformer in real
life,
as a costume,
yes.
It's very cool.
Yeah, exactly,
it's very cool. So a lot of they had some 80 photos submitted. Did you see the Lando guy?
Yes.
I like him too.
That is what I would look like if I ever tried to do Lando.
And he's got the look, you know, the kind of the smug smirk going. So yeah, he did a great job. Next week, I'm sorry to say that we will not have a regular episode of the Force Cast. Aw, the collective awes.
Oh, see, I already know what's coming, so there's no awe for me.
But we will have an exclusive, and I say exclusive, live interview with Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer, the authors of the Star Wars Vault, this amazing collection of reproduced artifacts from the Lucasfilm vaults. And it's really, really, really going to be amazing. And I say exclusive. Yes, they have appeared on other podcasts. They have been interviewed. But this is going to be live with your phone calls. So Steve and Pete have both agreed to take your phone calls live. If you can't join us live, email your questions to Steve and Pete at podcast@theforce.net. When I say Pete, I mean Pete Vilmer.
Yes.
Although you will be here. It might be kind of confusing.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll just call you Master Nagel.
Yes. I will go by a terrible Jedi nickname for the evening.
So anyway, now Steve Sansweet was on the early show, and we got a clip. Got a clip of Steve Sansweet on the early show talking about the Star Wars Vault.
Steve Sansweet, head of fan relations for Lucasfilm.
Hi. Put some rare, even never-before-seen items into a new book called The Star Wars Vault. And Steve is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your favorite piece of Star Wars memorabilia?
You know, right now, it's a fan-made piñata that won a first prize in a craft category in Mexico City, and it's shaped like one of the creatures from the original Star Wars, this big hairy bantha, and you lift the bantha's saddle.
Oh wait, was the bantha the one in the desert?
Yeah.
Oh, right, I'm a little scared. I remember in. That. You want to take a whack?
I won't right? let anybody near that with a baseball bat.
Well, there you go. I'm impressed that she knew who the bantha was. That was Julie Chen. One of the talking heads there at the early show. So Steve Sansweet on with the folks at the CBS early show talking about the Star Wars Vault. You will have your chance to be the next Julie Chen and rap with Steve and Pete. So it's going to be great next week here live via talk show Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Steve Sansweet, Pete Vilmer, well, and of course, Pete Nadel.
of course.
By the way, he is my best buddy. I mean, I normally say that at the top of the show, but since we haven't, you know, it's been a week.
That's right.
My gosh.
Well, I think the bromance comments were enough to
right.
establish that.
I think
that.
So. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. Well, to not let... So anyway, just make sure that you're here next week. Tell all your friends. It's going to be awesome. We might even break some talk show records on having the number of people here for a live show. So... make sure you get into the chat and figure out all the and help your fellow talk showers. There's probably going to be some first time folks next week. So we've got such a great community of people. So I'm sure that you'll be more than willing to help out. So anyway, I'm so excited that Pete and Steve. I mean, they must be crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad they agreed to do it because this is definitely a test of high proportions.
But I had emailed Steve, I knew that they were going to come on the show, and I threw this. I actually expected him to say no, and no, he said yeah. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I told him, he didn't ask. I just volunteered and said we have a great community that are respectful, thoughtful, very bright. So, come on, guys, don't let us down.
Yeah, it was nice of you to lie about that, but...
Well, there's going to be questions that you just don't ask.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not your time to, you know, rail against Lucasfilm or whatever you might want to do. We all have our own beefs.
Right.
But I don't need to say. We have such a good community, you know. But it's all it takes is one person.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway... Next week, it's going to be awesome. I want to thank publicly Pete for picking up Commander Prodigy.
Yes.
This was the sideshow exclusive 12-inch figure that was announced. Well, there was no like pre-announcement.
No, there was no announcement.
All of a sudden, it went up.
By the time I saw it, it was already up, ready for pre-order.
And you snagged one, and you got one.
I got one.
And I did not. I didn't even know. I mean, I kind of took a fast a little bit last week. The day job was keeping me plenty busy, so I kind of was fasting from everything. Still checking email, but and then I saw your email about Commander Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did this happen?
What?
Yeah. So I'm glad you got him. He's of course one of the Imperial officers on the at the top of episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that I don't think that the figure looks a lot like him, like the actor, the face. But I love that uniform.
Yeah, the uniform is great.
And I'm a sucker for, you know, Imperials, Imperial officers. I think I love the uniform, love the look of it. So I'm really happy to have that. So thank you very much. Because you bought it and you're like, I don't even think I want it.
Yeah, but I knew that it was going to be a pretty limited thing. So right. I figured I got to jump on it. So.
All right, well. Your
and it goes to my best bro.
All right, people are gonna start talking. your loss is my gain. That's that's great. For those of you who are in the know or care or whatever, the Star Wars Yoda stamp is now available. I think that went on sale sometime last week, maybe the week prior. As you know, they were what were there 15, 17 that were released in May stamps, and then we all got to vote on the one we wanted the most. The one we liked the most, you know, Fat Elvis, Skinny Elvis. Turns out Yoda was the one. And, yes. I was really happy that it was Yoda, actually.
I think that was the best portrait. I think it's the best representation of
Thank you,
Star
yes.
Wars.
And Star Wars fans.
I mean,
you know, I don't know that it would look good to our international friends that, you know, the stamp of the United States is, you know, Palpatine or
Darth Maul.
Or Darth Maul.
As if I would have had my choice.
Right, of course.
Exactly.
But it was cool. You know, that was a great way to do it because you still got your Darth Maul stamp.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they just said, well, here are the possibilities and vote for one and you get one. I mean, we did get them all in theory, but so you get a full sheet of Yoda stamps. I haven't picked mine up yet, but I will.
No.
I will.
Well, you know, somebody at work walked by the other day and was like, look, did you know they have Yoda stamps? Like,
do you know who I am?
If you listen to the show, do you know who I am? You would know that I was making fun of people like you about this very same thing 5 weeks ago. Mm. So yeah, that's my little rant for the thing. It's okay, but it's the people who, you know, there's people who come up, oh, did you see those Yoda stamps? Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
Right.
It's the people who come up and go, man, did you see those Yoda stamps? Like,
nerd.
Yeah, you big geek. I know something that you don't. No, I will show you nerddom that will knock your socks off, pal. That's when I go, do you know I host a podcast?
And they go, wow, you're nerdier than I thought.
And they go, what's a podcast? And I go, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, to follow up on a story that we've been covering a little bit here, ever since we were back in the ForceCast Studios annex in Chicago, the Space Shuttle Discovery did it come back today? It was scheduled today.
Yes, today.
It did come back today?
It was scheduled today. Oh. I have not actually tuned in.
Well, it was supposed to come back today, and of course it's bringing with it the lightsaber prop hilt from Return of the Jedi, Luke's original Jedi lightsaber, okay? And it was coming back today, and there was an opportunity you could log on to... I think we had the link in our show notes from a couple weeks ago. You could actually write a message to the astronauts. They'll be given all these messages when they return home. And hopefully, as we record this show live, they are home and safe and sound. And it was kind of cool. The StarWars.com had a story where, you know, it's sort of a tradition where they get these wake-up calls. And, you know, so once it was recently, it was Paul McCartney performing live for the astronauts. And most recently here, it was the main title theme. The John Williams main title theme, waking them up, and it was very cool. Cool to see Star Wars get this kind of treatment.
Yeah,
and they'll be bringing the lightsaber back, and then that lightsaber hilt is going to be on display at the Space Center, along with some other Star Wars props and an X-wing model and some cool stuff like that. So
very
cool. You can look at that hilt and say it was, you know, traveled like what, 6 million miles, I think.
Yes.
Is what it was. So fantastic. Excellent. So Godspeed to them on their way home. Godspeed to Jimmy Mack for dropping the new latest Galaxy of Music, the 14th episode of Galaxy of Music.
Yes.
A reprise here, I guess you could call it, of Bethany.
Yes, the savory Bethany.
Bethany. She's nice.
She is.
But I'm trying to think. What's her last name? Bethany... Well, she's Jedi Princess 77.
That's all we need to know.
Right. We don't need to know her whole name. Hamilton, I think.
Bethany Hamilton. I think it is Hamilton. It's probably better that we don't.
It probably is, actually. Great voice. Great personality. She's a fanboy's dream.
Yeah.
She's this fanboy's dream. I was telling you, I'm a bit of an old jazz man myself. I did. Pete outed me, I guess, several episodes back, where he mentioned that I used to have a lounge act in a jazz trio that I would tour around with. And so for me, for this guy, an old lounge lizard like myself, to be listening to a microcast with the lovely and talented jazz songstress Bethany, who happens to be a huge Star Wars fan, can you imagine?
All the better.
It's nice. So make sure you check that out.
I will say this. I have already signed up for Jimmy Mack's backyard Star Wars camp that he was talking about.
I was online
right away to get to that. I'm definitely there.
We've been to the Mack abode. I think there's room.
Yeah.
I think there's room. It's a grand old house. Yeah. It'd be a great place. I'm sure the wife would love it.
Yeah. I'm sure I can really swing that. I would actually have to fake my own kidnapping in order to go, but...
I just picture, like, the visuals that I get of Jimmy's backyard.
Right.
Star Wars
carnival style. There's Bantha rides. It's awesome. Right.
Well, you've got a microcast that you're going to be dropping here real soon.
Yes, should be dropping on Monday, so you can look forward to that. It was an interview I did with Tommy Lee Edwards and Chris Trevis. They are the artists responsible for The Essential Guide to the Force, which is due out in a couple weeks. So it's Jedi versus Sith, and they're a lot of fun to talk to. We had a really good time talking about not only how they got their starts and celebration for, but also really getting into what it takes to get together one of these guides. And it's pretty an intensive process. But I looked at a lot of the art. Tommy Lee posted a lot of it on his blog, and it's absolutely gorgeous stuff. And for the visuals alone.
Right.
It's going to be worth whatever they're doing it. And then it's narrated by Ryder Windham, who is a veteran of the guides and Star Wars lore. So I'm sure it'll be great. And it goes into a lot of stuff. They talk about how they did some Jedi forms and like lightsaber combat forms and just some other things that I didn't think would even be included in there. And they really went into depth with. So,
well, I was curious about how into the minutia of the Force they were really going to get. I mean, we know that with Episode One, we started getting midichlorian talk, and it sort of took away some of the mystery of the Force. And I was concerned about this in the book, but you feel pretty confident that this is.
Yeah, I don't think they get into a lot of the spirituality of
right,
it.
I mean,
it's not a biblical thing. It's more of a historical, just kind of a narrative about how things have progressed in the Star Wars universe from beginning to end. So I think it'll be great. The interview was a lot of fun, and hopefully we can have those guys back on at some point after the book drops so that they can answer some questions that you might have. So,
oh, that'll be great. We could do a live show with them. Very cool. You know, our own Jimmy Mack, speaking of Jimmy Mack, he is going to be making his first public appearance, I guess you could say, as a member of the ForceCast team. I mean, he was, of course, running around Celebration 4, but I mean, he's actually a guest on the roster of guests for the 2007 Chicago Toy and Game Fair coming up November 17th and 18th. It's going to be very, very cool. They got a lot of different Star Wars guests. Dan Madsen, Orly Shoshan, who played Shaak T. I think I'm saying that right. Is it Shoshan? Shoshan? Anthony Forrest, Sand Trooper from Episode 4. Anthony Forrest, he's got a great website and nice guy. We had, what did we have with Anthony before? Jimmy's caught up with him.
Yeah.
On
at
a microcast.
Yeah,
right,
at the last
right.
Chicago.
Because I remember listening to it and then jumping on his website, and I emailed him and thanked him for being on the show, and he was very gracious in returning my email. So, wow. Orly looks, she's a nice looking lady there.
Yeah, she does all right.
Anyway, also appearing will be, I think, Dave Dorman, Cynthia Cummins, I think I mentioned Dan Madsen, so they'll be there, and I believe the folks from The Force Among Us, the Mockists, will be there as well. So whenever Star Wars invades Chicago, you know that the Mockists are going to be there, and of course, Jimmy Mack is going to be there, so if you're in the Chicago area, make sure you go out there, support our man Jimmy, ask him for an autograph, it'll be the thrill of his life. And tell him that you love what he does, because we love what he does here. So good luck to Jimmy on his very first public appearance. We haven't made
it's
a public
appearance. It's very nerve-wracking for him. I mean, we haven't made an official announced appearance.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because no one's asked.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, because nobody cares, but.
One's asked. That's why.
And there's not really any conventions around Canton where people are going, oh, these guys are big celebrities.
Right. Now, we got a convention every Wednesday night here
in
the ForceCast studios.
That's right. We know where our bread is buttered.
Hey, we have some birthdays here. We want to wish happy birthday to Lindsay Duncan. You know her as TC-14 from Episode 1.
I'm TC-14 at your service. This way, please. We are greatly honored by your visit, ambassadors. Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
You know, I will always have a soft spot for TC-14. Because I remember.
Explain how.
Well, I will. Because I remember watching Episode 1 for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The big employee sneak that I've talked about in Columbus. And there were, you know, right, it was right at the beginning, and it was like, there's a protocol droid. I'm finally watching Star Wars again. Because she was really the first to really, yeah, you had, you know, the Jedis with the hoods and, you know, the intro and everything. I understand that. But
right, but that was kind of remote.
Yeah, there was something kind of removed from it. And when you, that character just put you right in the universe again.
Yeah.
So there's always something about it. I remember being really happy and excited to get the TC-14 action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, just kind of, you capture that moment. That's, I guess, what collecting is for me now.
Yeah.
It's like kind of collecting moments as opposed to toys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So, happy birthday to Lindsay Duncan, 57 years young. I aged her quite a bit.
Yes.
Sorry about that, Lindsay. And happy birthday to you all. Pete, you want to go ahead and...
Yes, sure. We have a happy birthday to Amy, whose birthday was on November 2nd, to our friend Jeremy from Japan, whose birthday was on November 7th. What's today? The 9th?
What is today? No.
Today is the 7th. So happy birthday, Jeremy. Right. Today, very day, is where we're recording. And as this goes live, happy birthday to Jamie Baca, who's become a good friend of the show as well. And then, of course, we cannot leave out our leader, our fearless leader, Dustin Roberts, fan club president, former fan club president. Is he still?
Right. Well.
When does his term end?
His term is ended.
Oh, okay.
His term is ended. There is technically no fan club president. Right,
well,
now.
We know that he'll always be that in our hearts.
I think you are. I think you're the new fan club president.
I've
named you.
It's all Lord of the Flies.
That's right.
There's just pigs on spokes outside of my apartment. I've declared myself president of the fan club.
Oh, man. You're on a roll tonight, man.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday to all of those people. We appreciate your support and your emailing in. And again, if you want to have your name mentioned in a birthday shout-out at the ForceCast, email it to us the week that it is at podcast@theforce.net.
And remember, nobody butchers names
more so than we do.
Right. I know you're a fan of 30 Rock, right?
Big fan. Huge fan.
Did you see Carrie Fisher on there?
I did. And I thought it was a fantastic performance by her, although...
Very funny.
It's one of those things where you don't know how much of a stretch it is. You know, and not saying that, you know, she was doing that, but I think she was acting very much from experience.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Having been in that, you know, that lifestyle before, you know, and knowing people who are down and out like that, I think
she talks about it. She mentions, hey, I was a has-been at, you know, age, you know, whatever. She jokes about it. So, I mean, she played the role of kind of a washed-up TV writer, sitcom, or a variety show writer. And the character played by Tina Fey, this was her idol.
Yeah.
And now Tina Fey is just a pure, unadulterated Star Wars geek. And she talks about that in an interview with, let me see, what's the name of the magazine over here? Pete, Entertain the People. I'm going to pull this up.
Boop, 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 boop. I have to say that after listening to that today, that has been going through my head all night.
I know, me too.
It's not necessarily at all a credit to what Bethany did on the microcast, but it is definitely something that's been going through my mind all day. You know, that sounds like a terrible pickup line, like, hey, you tired? Because you've been running through my mind all night. It's ridiculous.
I can't. Oh, wait a minute. Here it is. Here we go. I think I got it here.
All right.
Yeah. Geek Magazine. That's it. Tina Fey interviewed in Geek Magazine. And she talks about how she says, I was C-3PO for Halloween a couple of times, once when I was 9. I'll do it again when I'm 40. One time I did a sketch that got cut from SNL where I was going to play Princess Leia. My dream come true. That was the funniest thing ever, just because putting the costume on, and I didn't look like her or anything, but you put the costume on and that wig, and nerds, people were just staring at me in the hall. All these extras and background people and nerds wanted to talk to me all of a sudden. Guys have a real weird thing for that outfit.
Yes. So,
anyway, so she talks in that she is a big fan. And if you watch 30 Rock, again, this is not a show that's for kids. We're going to say that right off the bat.
No.
It's a show for grown-ups. Very funny show. And a lot of Star Wars references on it. We've aired a few of them here on the ForceCast as bumpers. But we started out talking about Carrie Fisher. She was on 30 Rock. Here's a clip from her performance there.
Help me, Liz Lemon. You're my only
Kind of very tongue in cheek there. Yeah, that was great, and it's a great show. It's definitely hitting its stride, and I give Carrie a lot of credit because it was a very funny performance, and it was definitely drawn from personal experience. So
I'm sure it was.
I was expecting some sort of catchy transition there.
I was thinking of one.
Speaking of personal transition, it is, of course, the Forcecast Fantasy Football League update, and we are heading into the home stretch. And as we are coming off of week 9, in which I put together one heck of a performance and still got trounced.
Oh.
I refuse to talk about this any further. So that's your fantasy league update for this week. No, we are coming together. Everything is still up in the air. There's still several playoff spots available. I can tell you that there is one fading star in the Star Wars universe of the Forcecast Fantasy Football League, and that is, unfortunately, Kitster's brother, Jimmy Mack, without a heck of a run. He's going to miss out on the playoffs, but it's all possible. There's still enough games left, so hopefully he can do it, but for everybody else, it looks like Luis and the Aluminum Falcons and Darth Fagan and the NES Tecmo Super Bowlers are heading towards a crash course in the Forcecast Fantasy Football League Championship. They own the best records in the league.
Crash course to destiny.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, and I actually I did forget to mention Obi-Wan's Wampas as well. The three of them are definitely headed towards a big-time showdown worthy of the Colts and Patriots. I know that means nothing to most people that I'm talking about, but it should be great, and they will walk away with the vaunted Forcecast Fantasy League trophy.
And we don't know what this looks like yet, right?
We don't know what it looks like yet, but I know a couple of the things. Yeah, I know a couple of the things that have been sent or are talked about being sent, and it will be something to behold when it's all said and done.
Have you contributed anything to it?
I have.
Oh.
And it will be great.
Unfortunately,
so
I'll never see it because you're not going to win. Sorry about that.
That was perfect.
My own little dig there.
Ooh, see, I know it's rubbing off on you when you start talking trash about fantasy football.
That's right. Well, but you know, I of course in my house Sunday's like it's a religious day for a whole other reason.
Yes,
the Browns are playing, and you know what? They're actually more fun
not
to watch
doing
these
bad
days.
Yeah.
You know? So tied for second.
It's not
right?
A
see how I pulled that up.
I hear you.
Right. Are they tied for second? No, squarely in second place.
They are, squarely in second place.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh won, as opposed to if Baltimore would have won, then it would have been a three-way tie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a big growing experience for me. All right, let's see what Billy D has to say. Here's your Billy D clip of the week coming up right now.
This is Billy D. Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
So we had I think it was last time we did the show, the quote of the week was from Robot Chicken, the episode where they showed what happened on Cloud City after the...
and who betrayed his best friend.
right. This guy. And I had mentioned that, you know, it was cool to hear Billy D actually reprising the role of Lando, of course. And Jimmy Mack was kind enough to remind me that, you know what, that's not the first time he did. He did in the LucasArts video game Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, and we have a clip of that. So here's your Billy D clip of the week.
All right, say goodbye to this wretched hive of scum and villainy, and hello to Cloud City.
it's all gold.
It sounds like something you would hear like, you know, I don't know, he sounded like a airline pilot.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That's right. Like
you know, you're flying in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's
or well, on one of those commercials, like for you know that the Cloud City would put on, you know, to promote tourism.
That's right.
Know.
Yeah. Have you been to the paradise of your life? Well, if you haven't, you need to come to Cloud City.
So anyway, I guess it wasn't the first time. Hopefully, it won't be the last time.
No.
That he reprises the role. Also, if some of you are following the news, you know that there is a writer strike out in Hollywood, and we were talking about Carrie Fisher just playing a writer, a variety show writer, and we were curious and very concerned about what effect this would have on the production of the Star Wars TV projects. Of course, at the stages that they're in now, and we're talking about, they just hired these writers.
Right.
We know that there were some writers hired for the live-action TV series, and we know that they're 20-odd episodes into the first series season of the animated series. So what's going to happen? Well, the folks at TheForce.net, they got in contact with Lucasfilm, and Lucasfilm wrote them back and said that Lucasfilm has many projects in various stages of production. We do not at this point know what impact, if any, the strike will have. So no news is good news, as Mike pointed out on TheForce.net. It may not, you know, have any effect. I don't know. You know, George is not, he's not real friendly with the unions.
No,
doesn't have a good history with the unions.
Yeah, he's from the old days of the union busters.
Right. I know that, you know, in the production of particularly Star Wars Episode 4, they didn't like not being able to take a break every 10 minutes or whatever, you know, it was. And George wanted to get the job done. So anyway, we'll be following that to see and bringing you the news if there's any impact of the strike on the Lucasfilm projects. But thank goodness this project is now in the can. That's right. Also bringing you all the indie news that we can squeeze in to 3 minutes. The Force Cast to the rescue.
Talk fast, my friend.
Well, anyway, wanted to mention a couple things. You know, thank goodness that the Indiana Jones 4 is in the can. We don't have to worry about any effect of the writer's strike on it. Except maybe the guys that put together the trailers. I don't know. Those guys,
it's a possibility,
count.
You know.
It's got some indie news. Check it out. You can check Indiana Jones out at MySpace. They have an official MySpace page. Of course, MySpace and Flickr are like the new, you know, it's the new, well, I shouldn't say new, but I mean, that's the thing now for, you know, big companies. They all have a presence now on, so it's not just, you know, the creepy guys, you know, trying to meet young girls or whatever. If you go over to myspace.com/Indiana Jones, you can check out the official, and this is the official Indiana Jones presence at MySpace. There's not much there. It's just you can sign up and be a friend. TheForce.net is a friend. Bonnie Burton on there of Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think. We need to be friends.
Yes.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we do.
Our MySpace pages. If you, by the way, speaking of MySpace, if you have tried to become a friend, I can't speak for Pete, but if you've tried to become a friend of mine, oh, within the last, say, 2 months, I'm not ignoring you. I just never check my MySpace.
Yeah, I'm so terrible about that. Because, again, it's one of those things that's blocked at work.
Right.
And if they expect me to be able to do these things, why would they block it? Of course, the answer is they don't expect me to be able to do these things, and that is why they block it. So,
right. Well,
shame on them.
Well, if you work for a place that is not a prison and you can get onto MySpace.com, do so and become their friends. Indy needs all the friends that he can get. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. The website, the official Indiana Jones website, has had a little bit of a facelift. So, of course, they'll be gearing up Fast and Furious. I mean, once we get through the holidays, man, it's going to be wham bam.
Yeah, it's going to be honest.
And we're probably looking at a trailer. I mean, there's trailer details have leaked. And, you know, I put this on the show notes because I was going to read it all.
Yeah.
We were going to do a little staged, old-fashioned radio drama of the Indiana Jones trailer with just Pete and I playing the characters.
Yes.
But we're not going to put you all through that. You can check it out at TheForce.net. You know, read at your own risk.
Spoilers abound.
Yeah, yeah. The trailer is apparently scheduled for a release on November 22nd. That's what I'm being told.
November 22nd. There we go.
Yeah. Let's see. It's apparently being rated. It'll be released November 22nd. Yeah. According to this spy report, it's going to be released November 22nd. So you'll be able to see it. But I read the whole transcript of the trailer. I remember reading the transcript of the trailer for Episode 1.
Yeah, I do as well.
and I had crummy dial-up, and I let that sucker...
It took three and a half days. I remember.
It took all night long. And the funny thing was, I slept on my couch. I was in college, and I slept on my couch waiting for it. And I kept waking up, you know, like every hour. Is it ready? Is it ready? You know, and it advanced like just, you know. But it was, dude, it was totally worth it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't care. I didn't get much sleep that night, but it was totally worth it. So, anyway. And I'll be there for the indie trailer. I'd love to see the indie trailer for the first time in the theater.
Yeah.
But I know it'll be on, like, Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, it'll be up.
Or it'll be on the website. Yeah. Or, you know, it'll leaked onto YouTube. And I won't – I'll do the same thing I did with this. I'll read it or I'll watch it.
I'll be there the moment it's available.
Right. Now, I have never bought tickets for a movie just to see the trailer. Have you done that?
I came really close.
With what?
Episode 3, actually.
Oh, yeah. What was the film?
That was something I did not want to see. But what ended up happening is I went to see another movie. And this movie was starting just before that. So I snuck into that theater to watch the trailer and then left and went to see the movie that I did want to see. So shame on me.
Well, I was luckily working at a movie theater around that
Yeah,
time.
You didn't have to worry about it.
So I didn't have to worry about it too much. But anyway, so the trailer allegedly is coming out November 22nd. I don't know if that's official yet. What are we, an Indiana Jones podcast here?
Cripes.
Geez, it's enough we can do to keep up with the EU.
That's right.
But anyway, so check that out if you're interested in getting spoilt. For those of us that were following, obviously, the development of the prequels, we need our fix.
That's right.
Our spoiler fix. I was thinking about that the other day, that there's just not a lot of movies on the horizon that I'm just... Nothing that comes close to the anticipation of one of the Star Wars prequels.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you, I was really let down by Spider-Man this summer, the Spider-Man sequel. And so everything else now is kind of, you know, I'm very cautious on.
Yeah, my favorite movie of the summer was Knocked Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it? You like it?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
It was great.
And again, it's one of those movies where before you know it, you are in the middle of a chick flick and you have no idea how you got there. It's hilarious. And then you're going, wait, where am I?
But it's good.
So, it is. It's good. It's very good. You know, I'm looking forward to Iron Man. I think that'll be very good. But I'm also a little leery of it. Just because.
Well, the Batman sequel I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, but again, leery of that too, just because of.
If I remember right, you and I waited a long time to see Batman, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we finally went after work one day. For a little afternoon of bromance. Anyway, so what else do we got? Oh. One of Pete's good friends here, Cat Staggs, has let the cat out of the bag. Let the cat out of the bag about a new line of trading cards from Topps. To sort of celebrate the legacy of Indiana Jones. It looks like it's the Indiana Jones heritage set. So it's going to be, from all three of the original films. And then I don't know if there's going to be. Let me see here. What's it going to be? It's coming out in February 2008. So I doubt there's going to be a whole lot of Indiana Jones 4 photos, maybe a few. But the cool thing is there's going to be some of the sketch cards. And Kat is one of the artists that's supplying the artwork for that. And you've had the opportunity to interview her a few times.
Yeah, she's great. And I know she'll do a great job with it. And I'm sure there's several other artists that are on the cusp of working on some of that stuff. So definitely look forward to coming out with some of those. You know, that's one of those things where I can't wait to get my hands on some of them at some point. Because I see them. I see, you know, because I regularly go to these people's websites and I see some of the updates with them. And it's just great because there's so many different takes on how everything looks.
Well, I love the fact that some of these Star Wars artists are getting kind of enveloped by Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I love the whole relationship between Indy and Star Wars.
Except
on the Forcecast.
Well, you know.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We just get the occasional email from somebody saying, you know, I love Star Wars, but I don't like Indiana Jones, so can you drop the Indiana Jones segment? But really, for every one of those emails we get three or four saying, keep the Indiana Jones stuff.
Yeah.
So how's it coming along there for you?
got a lot of Indiana Jones news coming up. That'll be great.
Anyway, this is coming out in February of 2008, and it will be retro cards from the first three films Obviously, just whetting people's appetites for a set all dedicated to Indiana Jones 4, probably as we get closer to the spring. And as we mentioned at the top of the indie segment, it is a wrap officially. You go to IndianaJones.com, the kind of a newly redesigned IndianaJones.com. You can see a video that celebrates the wrap parties of all the Indiana Jones films, including Indy 4. There's a, like I said, that's a video you can check out, and they're all kind of toasting. I know one of the cast members is not really doing much toasting. He's just toast. We'll have more about that later.
Toast.
But anyway,
Ed,
that's your Indiana Jones report for this week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more. No, we won't.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
I said we'd be back next week with more Indy 4 news. Unless Steve or Pete Vilmer, Steve Sansweet or Pete Vilmer drop some.
You never know.
You don't know. They might drop some big news. This is a pretty full week.
Yeah.
Well, because we missed a week.
Yeah, it's a week off. So, you know, it's going to be a long show.
It is going to be. It is going to be. And I was going to check to see if anybody is dying to get in on the conversation. And no, they're all... Wait a minute. We do have somebody that's willing, that's waiting to talk, willing to talk. I like that. You're on with the Forcecast. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
It's Master Zarg.
Master Zarg, how you doing?
Good.
Good. You were in the queue to call. What's
Pete,
up?
Did you have a chance to show that to Jason at all?
I did not get a chance to show that to Jason. But I think you may have seen it. The Vader in Love spot on MySpace?
No, I haven't seen
that. Yeah, I just checked. There's actually four of them now.
There's four of them up now.
Wait, what's going on? What is this?
All right. I don't even know how to describe it.
I was gonna throw it on you because I didn't know how to describe it either.
Well,
it's a parody of kind of the Death Star meeting scene. But then there's a female Vader in all pink, and it's about him going.
Oh, I have seen this.
Teenage boy hormone.
I saw the video. What's with the MySpace page? What, there's a MySpace page? Is that what you're saying?
It's just
MySpace video.
Yeah. Okay, it's a MySpace video.
Yeah,
I gotcha. Okay, yeah. Actually, Kyle Newman sent that to me. Said you got to check this out. So I did see that. It was disturbing. I emailed Kyle back and I said, I think I had a dream about that once.
Creepy.
Once. But yeah, it is. It's a very funny video, but kind of disturbing to see Vader as well. Pink and a girl, and you know,
kind of takes away some of the fear.
Right, it does. So, well, I appreciate it. Master Zarg. Was that you? That you, did you pass that along then to Pete?
Yeah, he had sent it on to me, I really appreciate that. And you know, I always love getting little tidbits like that because that kind of picks up my day when I'm sitting in the doldrums of my prison, as you have so aptly described it. It's fun to look at those stuff and people walk by my desk and
Tallest Jawa just said, yeah, Vader with girl parts.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
That's awful. Shudder. All right.
I wonder if Vader as a woman, you know, would be,
where is this going?
Would be uxorious.
Well, I wonder,
you know,
that too.
You know, just a very submissive and affectionate towards their significant other. So,
well, the fact that she's pink and wearing the Vader armor, and but she's not really disguising as the Jawas would call it, the girl parts. Very well.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, it's a very creative fan film. So, anything else on your mind, Master Zarg?
Well, 2 weeks ago, not last week.
Right.
The new NBC show, Chuck. I don't know if you've seen that at all yet.
I have. I'm a big fan.
Did you watch that episode at all?
Yes.
Was there a Star Wars reference?
There's been a couple.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
There's been a couple. They actually do a pretty good job of thinking the Star Wars. Well, you know, again, it's smart because the references are very valid and are very appropriate. Mm-hmm. But it also is validating the fact that he is a geek, you know, because he works for the quote unquote nerd herd. So, you know, he's this big computer guy that, you know, by accident becomes a spy. So, but it, that, you know, it is,
I would love to become a spy.
It's, by accident. It's that thing that where, you know, for us, for the, for everybody who's in, you know, the references are very funny because we get it.
Yeah,
for
right.
everyone else, it is just a validation of the fact of who the character is. So
I see. Okay. Okay. So it's kind of, so it works like Frasier used to, where they'd have those jokes that only, like they said, the 3% joke or the 2% rule or whatever.
Yeah.
Where only 2% really got what the joke was, but otherwise it just represented what a snob they were or whatever.
Yeah. I wasn't in the 2%.
You're in this 2%.
I am.
All right. Very cool. I haven't seen it yet. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get some clips from it.
They did the Princess Leia slave costume on that.
Yeah.
One,
so. Oh, yeah.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta like that.
Well, and another part of it is, you know, it's NBC working, knowing where its bread is buttered as well. And the female agent is a very attractive lady, and you know, what's better than seeing an attractive girl? Well, first of all, she works at the Wiener Hut or something like that.
All right, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute. This is a family show.
Yeah, well, it's a hot dog,
you know,
store.
You notice that it's always Master Zarg that brings down the level of conversation. Was it? You're the one that's always giving us the references that get us in trouble with our listeners.
There's got to be something satisfactory to that, though. But you know, they do what they have the. You know, that this very attractive girl, she works at this hot dog store, and it's this, she wears this short skirt with pigtails and everything like that. So, you know, it's like, you know who your audience is.
Yes,
and
of
then,
course.
You know, and then they, of course, they throw the gold bikini in there, and it's...
What, they think we're just going to lap that stuff up?
Yes.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we will, of course.
Exactly.
Master Zarg, yes.
All right, man. Hey, thanks again for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Take care. If you want to get in the queue to call, you can do so. 724-444-7444. Right. 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 I think everybody's muted, right?
Yep.
So we're still recording live. Anyway, so big news here as far as headlines go. Rick McCallum speaks. He talks Star Wars. Are you ready for this? Sit back, get comfy, get yourself a sandwich. We got a lot of rumors to go through.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, reading from TFN and the great Mike Barrick, who does such a great job of posting on TFN. Well, everybody over there that does so, Mick and the whole gang. But you know, Mike's really good about getting the updates, man. You know, mm-hmm. He's updating these posts like crazy. So we had Guillaume from France sent us some information from Rick McCallum, who spoke at Star Wars Réunion 2 in France this past weekend, and this was at the end of October, so a couple weeks ago now. Here's what they're claiming. Now, this is, of course, taken from an article that was originally written in French, so I don't know if some things are lost in translation, but what we are translation. But what we know here, according to this, is that Boba Fett will certainly be in the series. Rick would prefer that Daniel Logan play the role,
as would I.
As you mentioned, so you're mm-hmm. a big fan. You know what? For all short people, you know, folks that are, and I say that with love because I'm small in stature myself. I think it'd be great if the baddest bounty hunter in the world was played by Daniel Logan, because he's a little guy,
right? Hey,
he's a little guy.
There's nothing wrong with.
But Jeremy Bullock is not.
No.
So they have some splaining to do.
Well, you know,
trick photography. You
know, well, David Prowse is a huge man. And Hayden Christensen is not. So
yeah, but he only had to be in that suit for like all of 3.5 minutes.
Well, you know. I'm sure they can swing it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but so the series will be on cable. Now, here's where I start to get leery. You know, it's like these are so definite. They don't even have a home for the animated series. And now they're saying that the live action series is definitely going to be on cable. I don't know. He will have a contract for 100 episodes, and Rick hopes that it will be extended to 400, maybe with expanded universe characters after the first 100. So they're extrapolating here, so no EU characters for, quote, now in the live-action show. All the characters will be new ones.
Hmm.
Well, aren't they EU characters then?
Wouldn't that by default make them EU?
Right. So these are... And this is what has me... Whatever. I'm done with my concerns. I'm going to strap in. This is my New Year's resolution. I'm starting it now. I'm just going to strap in and enjoy the ride. I'm going to stop second guessing.
Well, that's the thing is we get so many rumors, and that's why I'm always so hesitant is all these rumors just serve to obfuscate everything and just make it seem that much more confusing, and there's no real direction on it. So until we get some definite announcement.
Well, Rick McCallum's the producer, man. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he was also responsible for the Yoda
Charlton
Heston as Yoda rumor. So,
well, you know what? Rick strikes me as the kind of guy that would enjoy having fun with the fans. But yeah. I don't think he's filling us with misinformation.
No, I think this is certainly what he wants.
See, I think all this is perfect world stuff. You know, because here's the thing: Rick's going around. He's doing these events, and people are asking him questions.
Right?
Is it going to be on cable? Is Boba Fett going to be in it? They're asking him these questions, and he's sick of saying, "Well, I don't know yet. We just hired the writers."
Right.
So he's starting to say, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Will Daniel Logan be playing? I'd like to see Daniel Logan play. That'd be interesting. I'd like to see it on cable. So that could be where these things are coming from.
Sure.
Or it could be absolute truths. Who knows? But there was a follow-up from Guillaume, who said also at the Star Wars Reunion 2 that there was some information about the Clone Wars animated series. One that we will see more trailers once a TV network has been chosen. That's kind of like, is that really news? You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what. Once this thing airs, you're going to see a lot more of it.
Once we have something to promote, you're going to see a lot more about it.
Right. I think it's kind of a miracle that there's a trailer for this without a network.
Yeah.
When you think about it, when's the last time that's happened?
Well, and in all honesty, without Celebration 4 and Celebration Europe as markers, we probably still wouldn't have seen anything.
That could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But certainly, the fact that you had Celebration 4 and Celebration Europe, they wanted to get something together. And it sounds like, if I remember the news coming out of that time, they were scrambling to get that. That was last minute, man.
Yeah, it was pretty last minute. So
yeah, that was a last minute addition to C4. Anyway, so the series may be broadcast in many countries at the same time. Again, is that really news? But I know what they're getting at. Is it going to premiere in the U.S. and then they're going to have to wait 6 months or a year to get it elsewhere? Some more information about the live action series. Again, this is all news coming out of Star Wars Reunion 2 in France. Clone Wars animated series, the first season will have 21 episodes of 22-minute episodes. 21 episodes, each 22 minutes long, and apparently Steve Sansweet has seen 6 of them. We'll ask him next week. That I will ask
him.
How many
have
you seen? Right. Let's see. What else? According to Rick McCallum, he hopes to have John Williams for the score, but it's too early to tell. I don't see John Williams doing a TV show. I see him maybe providing maybe a main theme. If they,
well, here's the only thing that I think might
Danny
pull
Elfman
him
did
in.
This did the main theme for the Batman animated series, the first one,
right?
But
he had also done The Simpsons, so
well, that's true. So there was precedent. Yeah,
so there was precedent there. But here's what I don't think that, and this isn't an ego thing. I don't think John really wants to let anyone else, have at the Star Wars. I mean, granted, there's probably been somewhere along the line with some of, all the audio content that's out there. There's got to be something.
Right, of course.
That
was done. Shadows of the Empire soundtrack.
Right, exactly. So there's a possibility. But I think, if he was asked, I think he would be more than happy to
maybe he'll
continue his legacy with it.
Right.
That's exactly what it is. It's a legacy. And
well, you saw what happened to the Harry Potter scores after Williams left the first one.
Hmm.
I know there's probably a bunch of fans of, but still, I'm so glad he did the first one because he set the, he set the bar. But I think he's coming back. I believe he's coming. Did he do the last one? I think he might have done the last one.
I still haven't seen the last
Williams film. Went into like a semi-retirement there for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was health issues or what the deal was. But anyway, more rumors still. We've got more rumors here, according to Rick McCallum. Again, he hopes to have John Williams for the score, but it's too early to tell. Six screenwriters have been hired and will start work, well, now, November. Of course, if they're on strike, who knows?
Yes.
Every episode will have its own original score. Oh, this is piggybacking on that last one about Williams. And Mike editorializes here. He says, they better get John Williams working on that now. That's a lot of music for 100 episodes, let alone 400.
Yes.
Just start writing cool-sounding music. We're sure it will work. And some information about the box set. We're all waiting for the big saga box set. Lucasfilm is waiting to see who wins the HD, DVD, or Blu-ray war. And yeah. The box set is set to have around 100 hours of documentaries about the six films. 100 hours of documentaries about the six films.
It's a lot of documentaries.
That is. And that's a lot of documentaries. Not that that's... I'm not complaining.
No, I won't complain one bit, but...
But it seems like maybe that's... I don't know if... if Rick McCallum said it. If he said it, it's got to be true, right?
you keep thinking
source sites are in French, so, you know, as Mike points out, you're going to have to take Guillaume's word for this because he's, you know, doing the translation.
Yeah, I don't speak French.
No. Let's see. We've got, Guillaume sent us another update. And, let's see. This is, again, Rick McCallum tidbits from an interview, that he did for, another website. Some clarification here that Boba Fett will play a pivotal role in the series among a horde of bounty hunters.
A gaggle.
A swarm of bounty hunters. The budget for an episode will be that of one of the usual American TV shows between $1.7 and $2 million. The challenge will be to produce the show in a budget that keeps the quality of the films. Of course, the series will aim at a wide audience and not just the fans exclusively, is what they're claiming. And that would make sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense to do that. Let's face it. If the show is going to be successful week in, week out, they are going to have to play to a bigger audience than just the fanboys. And I count myself in that crowd.
Yeah, I would agree. There's no doubt about it.
But there's ways that they can do it so that they give us those little things that, you know, that we go, and we geek out about. Did you see that?
Right.
But still make it kind of, just a good show. I think that's really key. Just make it a good show and have it in the Star Wars universe, and you're going to have a hit.
Yeah. I would absolutely
but
agree.
But story.
Yeah, that's going to have to drive it.
Let's face it. If that was the case, if all it took were Star Wars characters, then every fan film would be amazing. And they're not.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of them are great. Some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, really bad. So it's, you know, it's about the writing. It's about the story. And, of course, dropping it into that universe, I think you'll definitely have a hit. So... Now, the Clone Wars animated. Now, this is interesting. The series will be a Saturday morning show aimed at a young audience, 8 to 10 years old. And Guillaume points out, when I was reading this, I was like, wait a minute. That flies right in the face of what George said.
Exactly.
George said the problems with this, with selling this show, is that it doesn't really fit on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
But it's not Family Guy either.
No.
So it's somewhere in between. But I guess Rick indicated that he doesn't work on that project, so maybe he's...
Yeah, I'm not going to deal with that.
George is very happy and proud, and we've reported this on the Forcecast, and it's pretty obvious that he's very happy and proud of the way that the show's going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you stand back and you look at all this stuff, you know, they're going to get a network for the animated series. It's going to premiere in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
A little less than a year now. I would imagine by spring, for sure, we're going to start seeing some trailers hit.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get an announcement on the where this series is going to land pretty close after the holidays. That's my guess.
Yeah.
And then come spring, we're going to see a trailer. I think they're going to be using a lot of the publicity that they're getting out of Indy 4 to help. You know, hey, Lucasfilm is thriving. Indy 4 is on the scene. We've got these these projects, the animated series, the live action series. It's, you know, it's the animated series just seems like, maybe it's because we've seen a trailer, but it just doesn't seem like it's in this kind of weird, nebulous realm of like not really knowing what's going on with it.
No, I think
the live action series is just,
it's more concrete than the live action series is right now. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, they just hired these writers. You know, Rick is allegedly saying that it's going to be bounty hunters, it's going to be Boba Fett, and he's been saying this for a while.
Yeah,
I remember we've reported on this before. And it makes sense. I mean, if you're going to go into the universe and pick some of these ancillary characters, clearly the bounty hunters are the ones that probably have the most the mass market appeal.
Right.
You know, you're not going to go in and make it about droids.
Well, they've tried.
But it, right, right. And it was a nightmare. they could go in there and do a good troopers.
Mm-hmm.
Story, which I think, you know, we'll probably see some of that, and they could tie it in with the bounty hunters. So I think we kind of know the direction that it's going. I mean, the rumors are sort of pointing us into that direction, but it's just when you have these, you know, statements by Lucas where he's totally discounting the possibility of any kind of real, you know, main characters being in the show, it gets a little frustrating. But like I said, I'm strapping myself in.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the ride.
Yeah, we're just ready to follow whatever.
With writers being hired and, you know, with as many special effects as they're going to have to insert into this, and I know that, you know, Lucasfilm is not going to be satisfied with just your run-of-the-mill Star Trek The Next Generation style special effects.
No.
This is going to be in production, pre-production and production for a long time.
Yeah.
Be nice. I think they were talking about by the end of the decade. Well, we're already almost in 2008, so...
get cracking.
That's right. So those are your rumors. Where we're going to obviously always keep you up to date here at the Forcecast about the latest and the greatest stuff happening with the development of the programs. Let's see. You know what? If you're interested and you're dying for news about the animated series, do check out the video profiles of the production staff that's at the official site. It's all Flash video now, so there's no long wait times like for those QuickTime files like it used to be. I was zipping through. I watched probably about four or five of those. And what's cool is, you don't get a lot of extra footage that you don't see in the trailer, but there is some.
Yeah.
You got to watch really carefully. You can look at some things that are on their desk. You can look at, you know, some of the little clips that they have. There are a few little segments that were not part of the trailer, so there's some nuggets in there. You just got to wade through it. Plus, it's cool to see... these guys, they're such fans.
Yeah,
they look like they're
that's babies. Totally
they
evident.
Look like they're
yeah,
10 years old. Some of these guys. That's just me getting old, I think.
Us, anyway. My friend, us. Right.
So, Pete, tell us a little bit about BioWare. Moving off the TV topic.
Here. Well, we've got a little more confirmation now that they are definitely LucasArts and BioWare are going to create an quote unquote interactive and entertainment product. You know, again, they're not being very forthcoming about what it's going to be. The rumors are abound. Again, BioWare was responsible for the Knights of the Old Republic, the very first game. And so there's rumors abound that it's going to be an online role-playing game, a multiplayer online role-playing game based in the Knights of the Old Republic era. Now, you and I have talked about this, and it's interesting to kind of talk. We got some emails about this, talking about, hey, with those online role-playing games, there's not enough controls on a console game in order to be viable for it to be on a Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3 or anything like that. There's just not enough there. You've got to have too much more going in that direction. And that's kind of summed up in the rumor as well. It says, you know, given the fact that Star Wars Galaxies lacks both game appeal and players and is more likely marked for termination in the near future, this could be the stepping stone for a new era, a new game to kind of wipe the slate clean. But I kind of think there is something to it being a game on one of the consoles.
I don't see why they would compete with Galaxies,
right? Or why they would think that there's still a market for this if that's not going well. Because right. this is basically going to be the same game. It's in a different era. Obviously, Knights of the Old Republic is a different era. There's more Jedi about, all that kind of stuff. But in the same token, it's going to be basically the same game. There's not going to be a lot of deviation from what is already going on in Star Wars Galaxies, except for really there's more peace going on in the galaxy at the moment, except for, you know, there's Mandalorians and that type of thing. Anyway, so, you know, I don't know why that, you know, the console-based idea would get more play. I think that there is a possibility that that is something that they're looking into on the next-gen platforms. And whether it's voice-based or, you know, how you do the instructions or the chat or any of the other things that you need to do as far as a online role-playing game, you know, obviously it's a completely different and revolutionary type of thing. But I think that's something that, they would try to do with...
So they're saying it comes down to the controllers?
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's so many things that you have to do to get a, you know, to do the commands that you would do on...
Why couldn't you just have a keyboard that works with the Xbox 360?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, and we've talked and we've heard talk about a virtual keyboard for right. quite some time.
Right.
So maybe that's on the horizon. You know, obviously I'm not as well immersed in the game universe as especially some of our listeners and people who are emailing us and those types of things. But I have to think that in order to continue to compete, there's got to be something moving forward and continuing to push the envelope. You know, yeah, I'm sure 5 years ago somebody would have said, you know, that there's no reason to make a controller out of a guitar because nobody's going to play a game like that.
Right.
But yet here we are. Guitar Hero 3 is one of the hugest, the biggest games that's out there on the scene right now. So yeah. there could be some transition here. We don't know. It's not going to be scheduled for release until 2009. There could be a lot of changes between now and then. So we'll just have to keep our eyes open. And again, if it is something that comes to the console, great. My opinion again on those the online role playing games, they're great. They're a lot of fun for the people that can get into it. It'll pass me by because I just don't have enough time for it.
Right, right.
So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. But at least we have confirmation that you know, that it's definitely a partnership between LucasArts and was it BioWare? Yeah.
Yep.
BioWare. It's not my world. Hey, how about the Saudi King?
When I think of Star Wars, the first thing I think of is the Saudi King.
Well, but you know what? This was kind of funny, I have to say.
Very funny.
Apparently, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, he arrived at Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen, and the military band gave him a rather unique welcome, shall we say. So we do have a clip. Now, there's been some discussion about Saudi Arabia's, you know, their role in human rights or lack thereof. So this was kind of interesting.
It was a gift to the sketch writers, the first state visit by a Saudi monarch in 20 years, and it sounded as if Darth Vader himself was on his way to Horse Guards Parade. King Abdullah may not be head of an evil empire, but his visit is mired in controversy.
Love the way the Brits say controversy. Controversy.
I thought that was the secret word for this week.
Well, anyway, so here you have the King of Saudi Arabia showing up to meet the Queen and the
just
and the military just band totally goes classic. Into the Imperial March. You know, I wonder if was he in on the joke?
I'm sure he was not.
And I wonder if that's what it was. I mean, was it a
tongue in cheek type of thing? I don't know, but funny nonetheless.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't they play whatever the national anthem is of Saudi Arabia? I'm sure they have one. So, well, anyway. I thought it was funny. It's not the unthinkable, unbelievable story of the week. But, hey, speaking of rumors, there's more information coming out with about the continuing or the furthering of the relationship between Lucasfilm and Disney. According to the Blue Sky Disney blog, they're stating that, kind of confirming that the Tomorrowland, the plans for Tomorrowland is really kind of the hub of all this action that's going to be happening with the Star Wars vacation of Disney, and that this particular project is going to be starting late next year with the reimagining of Star Tours, Star Tours 2. If the current schedule is kept, according to the blog here, the area will be under tarps by this time next year. George Lucas is working with Disney on some very interesting designs for the sequel to the original ride. A great deal of Star Wars Galaxy promoting starting next year. I'd say a lot of Lucasfilm promotion throughout the park. But by the end of the decade, you can expect to see that galaxy far, far away quite often when you come to Anaheim. Even more so if ABC is able to land the rights to the Clone Wars animated show. This is far from a done deal, but Disney really wants to show Mr. Lucas that it more than Fox is the place that he should take his little show. So, kind of creates a whole trickle-down effect here. But
sure.
You can imagine how badly they want it. It would be just kind of odd to see that, like, Disney logo show up before a Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd...
When you wish upon a star, yeah, followed by right. The Imperial March. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's already happening. And, I mean, Star Wars,
yeah.
Is very popular there at the park. And, they've got these new toys that the action figures and everything. So, I mean, it's already happening, but it would kind of seem strange to sit down to watch the Clone Wars and see, like, you know, Mickey or whatever. I mean, not that everything that's ABC certainly has the mouse attached to it. I mean, that's
right.
Not the case, but I would know. I would see Mickey every time. You need the fanfare, the drum roll, the searchlights, you know, going around the big 20th Century Fox logo. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. They're also Disney blog is also saying that, you know, expect a lot of promotion for the new indie film in late March, early April. It's going to start off with the modest references to the new film and several promotional events. To start up here by May, the park that really gets to take advantage of Mr. Jones is is TDS, being as its name is almost the name of the movie. Anyway, so. Interesting to see what happens there. I feel kind of removed from this because I've never been to Disney World.
Right.
But we've got our boy Mick down there.
Yeah, only from the likes of
so I know
searches by
us,
Mick.
Right. He'll keep us there. If you're following the Expanded Universe novels, you know that the contract with Del Rey and Lucas Books is up. Although rumors are abound, according to Sue Rastoni, the editor at Lucas Books, who's in charge of the whole matter, they're already talking about next year and what we're going to see. A series of novels after Legacy of the Force and another series under the Old Republic. Now, I guess in some of her comments that were posted, they weren't sure if she was referring to meetings with quote-unquote them as being meetings with Del Rey or meetings with whoever the new... licensee might be.
Right.
The new publisher. But anyway, so that's a quick little EU update. Also, hey, you know what? It's not just the Clone Wars and live-action series that you have to look forward to. It's also The Force Unleashed. We cannot forget about this.
Yes. This is going to be the event.
This is the event, yeah.
Of the spring. There's right. No doubt about it.
Right. And this is real EU. Because there are toys involved.
Right. As long as there's toys, that's what gets you on board.
That's right. Just kidding. And you know who I'm kidding out there. But I guess there's a link, according to Jay Shepard, who posted this on Rebel Scum, there is a link for what appears to be the Force Unleashed trade paperback due out March 25th. Of course, written by game lead Hayden Blackman and drawn by Knights of the Old Republic artists Ben Ching and Bong Dezo. So that's on the horizon. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to that.
We knew that was going to be part of it. Well, I shouldn't say knew. We hoped that was going to be part of it.
Right.
It's going to be a big tie-in, just like the Shadows of the Empire was back way back when. So
right.
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be even more so a part of the Star Wars universe than Shadows was. So it'll be great.
Yeah, and I mean it's easy to get all wrapped up in, you know, longing for the animated series and longing for the, you know, the live action series. My gosh, that seems like a million years away. But Force Unleashed is going to be a lot of fun. I mean it's going to be one of those waves of EU that I will jump on and ride. I will. How about Family Guy news? Blue Harvest, the Family Guy parody of Star Wars, is officially heading to DVD in January. What's the date on that? That's a lot of reading here. But let's see. According to the press release, January 15th in North America and Canada, and then January 22nd, the international release is Blue Harvest. Of course, is the story of Star Wars: A New Hope, as told by Family Guy patriarch Peter Griffin with his family. And you know what really killed me? And again, this is not a program for kids. Just get it out of there.
Right.
I got to make this disclaimer, but the fact that Meg was the Diagana. That was the only role she had in the whole thing.
And that was a big secret too. I mean, that was like they kept that totally secret. They you know, it kind of leaked out the couple days beforehand through the trailers and whatnot. But you know, just it's always funny when the show, because the show has itself a lot of contempt for Meg as a character in and of itself. Right. So it's very funny to watch them kind of do those types of things.
Well, you've
so.
Been buying the Family Guy DVDs for some time. I mean, is there good quality here? I mean, do they put a lot of care into these?
Yeah, they do. They don't go to the extent that The Simpsons do, but they've done a lot of good stuff, you know, when especially with these special editions. Like they did a DVD release of, I think it was maybe 5 episodes. And one of the outstanding features of that one that made me actually go out and buy it, even though I had all the episodes already, was they did a commentary, or Seth MacFarlane did a commentary as Brian and Stewie of one of the episodes, and it was hilarious.
It was totally worth the money.
It was totally worth it. It was vulgar, but it was completely worth it and great. So I know that they'll take the same type of care in putting something together on this. So,
well, there's going to be 2 editions, a standard edition and a special edition. Standard edition comes with more than 4 minutes of exclusive DVD material, which just cracks me up. More than 4 minutes. let's see, animatics and commentaries, interviews with Seth MacFarlane and George Lucas.
That surprised me.
Huge surprise there. An uncensored track.
What if the George Lucas interview is from like 1987?
It's the Leonard Maltin interview from...
It has nothing to do with it at all.
An uncensored track, teaser of the next Star Wars spoof, Something, 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 Dark Side, which, as we've come to find out, is there's clearly going to be a sequel to Blue Harvest.
Yes.
Which is going to be the tale of Empire Strikes Back. Let's see. The special edition has the full, you know, the whole standard edition DVD, everything that's in that. Collectible packaging, a 3D fight scene, 3D glasses, T-shirt, trading cards, and an exclusive brochure. So it's almost like this in itself is a parody of every DVD, right. You know, special edition that's coming out.
Yes.
Or that has come out. So anyway, it's cool. It's official.
Yeah,
neat that it's getting its own standalone DVD. Yeah.
Well, so. and you know, they've done confirmation. It was kind of a surprise to see that they've already started doing the Empire Strikes Back episode.
Oh, they're actually working on it?
They have actually, Seth MacFarlane confirmed that they have already done a table read for it.
Oh, wow.
And
when is this? It's not going to be until next season?
I would assume it's probably not going to be until next season. But, you know, they've just celebrated their 100th episode. Everything's going pretty well. You know, the Mila Kunis, who does the voice of Meg, she did also confirm that they had done the table read for it and that they are moving forward on it.
Well, was she even technically in that
I don't know
episode,
why she was
right,
there.
Right. She was part of the setup.
Right. But and the only tidbit that they've really kind of joked about is that Boba Fett will be played by the giant chicken, which Peter has had several very lengthy on-screen fights with, including one that ended with a Indiana Jones reference.
Oh.
He and the chicken are fighting, and there's a plane spinning around, and and the chicken, of course, gets caught up in the propeller. So they're not unfamiliar with Lucasfilm properties as far as that goes. But so it should be really interesting to see how that ends up. But I'm very excited because, again, even though it's not for kids, I find this absolutely hysterical. You know, I was watching the episode and just watching it, and it's one of the it's that type of humor that just kind of speaks
well,
to me.
Well, it's gotten me into Family Guy.
Right.
And yes, it is lowbrow humor.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
It's not if it's not your cup of tea, you know, that's fine. I find it funny, but you know, again, it is not for kids. So Star Wars is no longer just for kids anymore. It's for everybody that grew up with it who were not kids, I guess. Kids at heart, I guess.
Yes.
One little bit of collecting news. I thought this was interesting. This was sort of late-breaking news that came out today. According to Sir Steve's guide, we might be looking at a redemption form, a redemption certificate for a Clone Wars preview figure in support of the animated Clone Wars TV series. Now, we know in our discussions with Dan the Man.
Yes.
Not Levitan, but Dan the Man Curto. That the action figure line for Clone Wars, while it will have its most likely its own unique packaging, will not be in an animated style. That I found disappointing, but you know we've talked about it on the show before. But so this Clone Wars, you know, it looks like it's 4 UPC codes. So as they mentioned in Sir Steve's guide, this better be a figure if I got to buy 4 figures to get this thing. So. Make sure that if you're interested, we'll have the link on the show notes. You can check that out and see if this thing's for real. But Clone Wars logo looks legit to me. Who knows? It's an easy thing to fake, I'm sure. But anyway, we might be seeing an exclusive mail-away figure. And I love those previews. You know, it's a throwback to the days when it was Boba Fett or it was the Emperor. Very, very cool. That's not the last story. Of course, you know the final word here on the Forcecast when it comes to headlines is...
It's unthinkable.
Well, I know we're going to get some mail about this. It's technically not a Star Wars story, but it is in the Lucasfilm family. The unthinkable, outrageous story of the week is the offspring of Marion Ravenwood and Indiana Jones, Shia LaBeouf, arrested. Where? At a Walgreens. Where? In Chicago? What is it with Jimmy Mack in Chicago? I mean, all of a sudden, it's now the mecca for everything. Working on the film Eagle Eye is what brought Shia LaBeouf to Chicago this past weekend, but if the young actor had kept an eagle eye on his public behavior, he might not be facing a charge of misdemeanor criminal trespassing. He was arrested at the Walgreens.
Well, you know,
on North Michigan Avenue around 2:25 a.m. because he repeatedly refused to leave the store, according to Chicago police.
Nothing good happens at Walgreens at 2:25 a.m. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Why are they open at 2:25 a.m.?
Whether he wanted to get he needed another Red Bull or if he needed some mentholated cigarettes or whatever. You know, it was just one of those things where he was not going to leave until he was satisfied.
Well, here's what I'm hoping. He's scheduled to face trespassing charges and appear in court on November 28th. Can we get Jimmy over there to get some sound? Hey, Shia, real quick. Jimmy Mack from the Forcecast. If anybody would do it, it'd be Jim.
Well, what I really want is a soundbite of him saying, "This is Shia LaBeouf. You're listening to the Forcecast," and you hear the gavel dropping in the background as Jimmy has infiltrated the courtroom.
Oh, that'd be great. Enough from you, Mr. Mack. Somehow Jimmy gets on the jury, you know. But anyway, he's going before the judge. You know, we just thought, you know, it was kind of crazy. I mean, the details of it, the security guard inside the Walgreens told LaBeouf to leave, that he was not welcome in the store and must exit because he appeared to be intoxicated. Again, that's not for kids. When the, as they're calling him in this story, the Transformers star, I like to think of him as the Indiana Jones star myself, refused, the security guard detained him and contacted the police who took him into custody. And they said that actually, they said he was very courteous and polite while in custody, but he was, you know, not so much before. Doesn't say that he was with anybody, too. I guess a spokesman for Walgreens didn't really say much. They said, well, we can't comment on any police matter, but there was an incident last night. And he brought his whip.
Well, again,
his dad's whip.
Getting them to comment on it, it's like, okay, an incident at Walgreens at 2:25 a.m.? You're kidding. I mean, there's got to be like,
right,
like solid bars on the windows there. Nothing, again, nothing good happens at Walgreens at 2:25 a.m.
So there's reports that he spent a good deal of the evening previous partying in the underground nightclub, River North. I bet Jimmy Mack hangs out there from time to time. He's
and
a clubber.
And again, another thing about the story that's just unthinkable is I'm partying. I'm having a great time. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to Walgreens. I haven't been there in a while.
You didn't know the rule that nothing good happens at Walgreens.
Or maybe he did know the rule. He's like, I'm looking for no good. I want to go to Walgreens.
Well, you know, this is his own little introduction into the Forcecast family as we report on his shenanigans.
That's right.
And as he became the subject of our outrageous, ridiculous, unthinkable story of the week. Shia LaBeouf, you got the world on a string, man. You're 21 years old. You're the next Indiana Jones, for crying out loud. Can you go into Walgreens and behave yourself? Does Optimus Prime have to come and kick your rear end? All right, that's it.
It's unthinkable.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, and we've got your listener emails, and we might be actually... Oh, we got somebody on the phone here. We'll take the call here. You are live with the Forcecast. Hello, hello. Hello.
Hey, Jason and Pete. Execute Order 66 here.
Hey, man. How are you?
Hey. I was wondering, because nobody ever mentioned the Shane Felix Trenches ABC show that was going to be on the web, and they're going to check and see how that does and before it's released on the ABC network.
Now, he was the director of one of the fan films, if memory is serving me correctly. Is that right?
Right, Star Wars Revelations.
Right. Okay. So, and he had a show that they're premiering on the web. Is that what you said?
Right. It's called Trenches.
Okay. Yeah, I remember reading a story about that, but I didn't.
So they're using the web as a way to test drive this thing, test drive this show, before they give them a commitment.
But yeah, the last that I read, that's what the attempt was. There's a trailer out for it, actually. And
have you seen it?
It blew me away.
What kind of is it sci-fi?
Yeah, the trailer, what I saw, is kind of a mixture between maybe Battlestar Galactica, Starship Troopers, kind of combined. Just judging it from the trailer, you know.
Right. Well, that sounds very cool. I'll have to check it out. I know that I believe it was the program that Jeremy Bullock did over in the UK. They did a test run on the web, right?
Well, they were using YouTube, and so obviously this is a little bit more focused since it does have a network attached to it. And I think if they go ahead and kind of promote it that way, I think they've got a good chance of really kind of.
Well, it certainly gives
settling
the fans,
on something to say, hey, this is a good way for us to kind of move things forward. So,
well, it gives the fans a voice, that's for sure, a direct voice. I mean, it's no longer the letter writing campaigns in the days of old where, you know, that's, you know,
right,
like,
the petitions.
Well, right, every letter is worth 100 and that whole formula or whatever it was. So that's interesting. Is the show available to watch now or just the trailer?
I haven't checked recently, but the last I checked, it was It was only a trailer. I have to go back to the website. Hmm.
And it's called Trenches.
Yeah, I remember hearing the story about him actually getting the deal to do the show. So,
well, and if anybody knows how to work the wonders of the marketing on the web, it's certainly going to be a fan filmer.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Anything else on your mind tonight?
No, that was pretty much it. I'm just waiting for a show next week to get my chance.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, definitely make sure you tune in for that. And we're looking for some good questions.
You already know what you're going to ask him?
Oh, yeah. I asked him a couple of questions at Star Wars Fan Days. I got to hang out with him a couple of days, actually.
Oh, very cool. Well, Steve's a great guy. We're looking forward to having him on the show for sure. And make sure that you're here next week because we want to have a good showing for he and Pete. All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot for being on. We'll talk to you next week. All right, bud. Take care. All right. You are on with the Forcecast. Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Eric. It's Eric. What's going on, man?
Well, I actually have three really quick things. Actually, you were talking about...
It's never just one thing with you. Eric, it's never just one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? What's up?
Sorry, but, well... I was just wondering how much time you think you'll have with Mr. Sansweet, Mr. Vilmer next week for calls.
What we're going to try to do is do a fairly quick interview at the top of the show, talk about the book, and then open it up for questions. So my hope is that we have at least a half hour, to 40 minutes of calls. I hope.
Okay. And... the second thing is, I don't know, this literally just went up as you were recording, but just a little bit of, just one quick indie thing. The Young Indiana Jones Volume 2 DVD has been announced to come out on December 18th.
Okay.
And there's a story over at StarWars.com about it. And I just want to let you know, because it's got some good information on StarWars.com. I thought you might want to check it out
definitely check it out. I know that TV shows on DVD.com has done a fabulous job in covering the indie news, and I want to say it's been a couple weeks that they've actually had the rumors, or I mean they seem to get these announcements long before they're official as far as Lucasfilm is concerned, and they've been talking about the third rumor dates on the third set. So, but of course StarWars.com has that whole breakdown of each disc, right? Are they doing that for the second set too? Yeah. So I mean it's much much more detailed, but I think most of the dates for the whole series have been announced, and there might even be a date on a complete series box set at this point. So that's another good site to go to, but the breakdowns this on StarWars.com are amazing, the detail that they anything else?
Yeah, just one more thing. I hate to put you on the spot for this, but
So do I.
I sent you an email a little while ago with an MP3.
Yeah.
You did.
And
the four-word story. Yes, we are in the process of putting that together, so we don't want to let the beans out of the bag just yet, but wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh, that. I got it. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to.
That's all right.
You, but there have been some people, so.
No, yeah, that is definitely in the works. So, hopefully we can have that drop here pretty shortly. But thank you very much for doing that. We appreciate when we throw out the call to action and you jump at it. We really appreciate it. So.
Yeah, well, I thought I might as well just answer your call to outsource the show. But I hope I've lived up to the quality of the Forcecast.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, Eric, so you'll definitely be here next week then to talk to Steve and Pete.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got a question or two.
All right, great. Hey, thanks very much. We'll catch
you
next week. All right, buddy. And we've got one more caller here, I believe, in the queue. You're on with the Forcecast. Hello.
Hi. I saw Knocked Up, but I still don't understand what fantasy sports is.
Sheldon, how are you? Fantasy sports, and just to kind of give you the backdrop on it, is you know, obviously in the United States we have a huge obsession with our sports teams, and fantasy sports is you take the players on the existing teams and you draft them onto a team of your own, and then you go head to head with somebody else,
an imaginary
and,
team,
right? An imaginary team, and you compare their stats. So whoever's team has the best stats at the end of the day wins. I'll tell you, it's one of those things. It's very abstract for a lot of people, and a lot of people aren't really into it. But it is a huge industry here in the States. I mean, it is monster. I mean, there are so many web services and subscription services and everything else that you can go into to just to get information on these.
In the old days, you had to keep track of it yourself,
right? Exactly. You know, and I actually, for a while back in the old days, I was actually pretty good at it because I had a pretty good idea of what was going on outside of everything. But now that everyone has caught up to me because they've got super inside secret information, I am just one of the also-rans. So hopefully that isn't too lengthy of an explanation on it. But, you know, it's something to look into. And it is a lot of fun. I mean, especially if you can get it in a group of people that you know.
Right.
And, you know, you do get some interaction on it. It makes it a lot more fun. So
does it sound just totally insane to you?
Well, I suppose it was played in a cantina in a Infinity's story in Dark
Souls. Yes, it was actually in Marvel Star Wars, you know, comic number 7.
And is thus, it is law. It is canon. Oh, man. Yeah, right next to the...
Sorry, I just excluded it from my canon.
Well, you are not the only one, my friend.
It's definitely not a part of your... Now, what do you call your canon?
It's the Shogun canon.
That is quite original.
And you're, of course, very cautious as to what
and
you...
And even the films themselves aren't immune. Chewbacca did not imitate Tarzan on the Battle of Endor. It didn't happen.
Wow. Talk about some serious removal of...
That is artful canon. Yeah.
My goodness. I don't have a problem,
George,
with that. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. So now the Ewoks certainly were still there, right? In Sheldon canon.
Yeah, they weren't quite as cute, but they were there.
They were furry and cuddly, but they also spit poison.
Right,
so.
They look more like Warwick Davis did in Leprechaun than Return of the Jedi. Oh man,
that's good stuff.
When droids are dropped from skiffs, they don't land 6 feet into the sand. Didn't happen.
I love this. We need to have a regular segment of Sheldon canon. Yeah. We need to maybe talk to you later about this. This would be great. Sheldon canon, what did not actually happen?
Again, it's all from a certain point of view.
Right, right. I love that. I always wondered that myself.
They have very soft sand on Tatooine.
You'd know that if you read the Atlas.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
You know, it's quite dangerous to people who don't know this.
Sheldon, that's funny. Hey, anything else you got on your mind?
I would like to know Jason's favorite Star Wars gaming moments over the years.
My favorite gaming moments?
Yeah. Pick which one of the both of them.
Gosh, yeah. Let's see.
I'll pass it over to Pete then.
Yeah, I would say probably when I borrowed the Star Wars Lego game, the prequel trilogy game from Pete, and I just couldn't get out of the bar, the diner. Just running around the diner and I didn't know what to do. I mean, like, coins were kind of dropping and I just completely lost. But actually I have to say I did make some great progress with my Battlefront 2 skills. So that would be my favorite game.
But. Well, and I've got a couple. Yeah, my very favorite moment was The finally completing Knights of the Old Republic and getting into that Darth Revan storyline. I thought that was great. I thought that was an amazing storyline. It was the first time I'd really hit a meaningful storyline that I thought was really intense.
Worth all of your time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. My second favorite was when I was talking to Jason about playing Battlefront, and the revelation to him that the object is not to survive as much as possible, but to just kind of get through it, and the fact that if you die on a level, that doesn't mean it's over. That you can actually continue to, you know, you just respawn and you run back out there. It's war, man.
Well,
you gotta sacrifice
Pete,
the minions.
I'm like, Pete, I think I'm doing something wrong on this game. I can't stay alive more than like 10 seconds. What's going on? And you're like, well, that's sort of the point. That's part of the strategy.
That's the thing. You know, as long as your ratio is 10 kills to one death, you're in good shape.
Right. Right. It's just a world that's beyond me. It really is. Anything else you got going on? I think we lost.
That's it. Oh. Thanks again.
Hey, man. Thank you very
much. Sheldon.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, let's get real quick here. We do have some emails we wanted to get to. You know what? I had to have this one. This was funny. This was from Travis in Ohio. He says, "I just wanted to let you know how thrilled I was when I heard the story about my mom." When the story about my mom made the outrageous, unthinkable story of the week, it really made my day and put a jump in my step. I had just received a special reward at work the night before listening to it, and though great, didn't get me quite as excited. So it is true that the Forcecast is better than a job promotion. You might already be aware, but last week's episode of South Park, Imagination Land, episode 2, featured a lot of Star Wars references. Again, this is not for the kids. South Park, rather. There were a few scenes involving stormtroopers and Darth Maul in a few shots. The episode even featured Luke Skywalker as a member of the Council of Nine, the greatest and wisest fictional characters ever to be created. You guys have a safe and happy Halloween. Keep up the great work. Travis from our own state of Ohio. Thank you, Travis. Well, I haven't seen that. It's TiVo'd. I haven't seen that episode yet.
I thought it was very funny, but I thought it was an odd choice that they picked Luke over Yoda.
Yeah, I could see that.
I thought,
yeah.
You know, for a wise counsel, I thought Yoda was the obvious choice. But a funny episode, you know, just very, you know, the episode itself wasn't quite as the same quality that I usually expect with the South Park. But what I found myself really enjoying about it was picking out all of the characters,
right,
knowing
right,
where
right.
they came from and knowing
what pop culture. I just love seeing Count
Chocula. Yeah. What pop culture references they came from. It's just great stuff. Just very funny.
So we had an email here about this whole deal with Electronic Arts and BioWare. It's kind of a long one, but do you sort of like highlights of this one? Or?
Well, this came from Mike, and he basically said, you know, the positives about the whole thing are purely financial. You know, BioWare is making lots of money, and EA will make tons of money off of BioWare's future endeavors. He is not a huge fan of EA. With the exception of, you know, the Madden series, which is a very well known and a very accomplished series, that tends to be one of theirs, you know, their popular title. But it was one that was purchased from someone else, and they kind of built on top of it. And then they haven't done very much on their own. That being EA, so he says it sounds like good business, but it may not be good for games. So.
So he's cautious.
Yeah, he's very cautious about it, and I'm hoping that it will mean good things. But of course, you never know with this whole thing. And I have to agree, outside of the Madden title, there's not a lot of EA titles that I run out to grab. But on the same token, at this point right now, there's not a lot of titles I run out to grab for our anything. So,
right.
You know, you just kind of go with what it is. And we won't get a lot of information for another couple of years. So we'll have to see what happens.
And this email comes here from Shane Dunlop in Australia. He says, "Hey, guys, I'm taking the opportunity while at work and on the clock to write you guys an email.
It's a man after my own heart.
Stating my appreciation for the show. I got on board way back during your C4 broadcast and have been impatiently waiting for every podcast and microcast since. I live in Melbourne, Australia. Actually have been surprised over the last few months. You had a few Aussie voices call in. My Star Wars fandom is moderate. One of my earliest cinema memories is sitting in the back seat of my parents' car at a suburban drive-in whilst my dad, 26 at the time, watched Return of the Jedi with an amazed look on his face. I've always loved the films, even the new ones, but I'm a casual yet interested fan of the EU also. Needless to say, love the show. Just a quick question. Some time ago, around the time that the prequels were announced, I remember George talking about viewing the Star Wars saga as a 9-film prospect. The original trilogy, the prequels, and the sequel trilogy, obviously concerning itself with the Solo kids, etc. Now, this excited me to no end, but soon after, George made it clear that he didn't have enough left in the tank to take on the sequel trilogy. I've enjoyed the sequels. That enjoyment increased in the closer we got to episode 4. I enjoyed the prequels, and that the enjoyment increased as we got closer to episode 4. I'm especially looking forward to the live action show for the same reason. It's more of the same story that we know and love, and as opposed to the story we love but don't really know, or in some cases care to know. Hello, young Anakin. To round out the question, do you think the original notion of a sequel trilogy, or at the very least some of the official TV show, cartoon, film, or something Lucasfilm will eventually deal with the Solo kids? Ben Skywalker, the reemergence of Palpatine, the death of Chewie, Mara Jade. I mean, it's all good stuff. Anyways, like I said, keep it up. I'll be listening. Regards, Shane. So, Shane, thanks for writing in. We love our Aussie voices. It's the coolest accent in the world. And my wife always told me the only man she'd ever leave me for was the croc hunter. May he rest in peace. So I guess I'm safe. But anyway.
Yes, terrible.
No, I didn't mean that.
Thank you very much.
I didn't mean that as a bad thing. He's like a god in our house, the croc hunter. But anyway, so thank you for that, Shane. Really, I think that the 9-episode saga, I mean, it goes back to, in some cases, an interview that Lucas did with Starlog magazine, saying that he envisioned this as 9 stories. There's also a tale that Mark Hamill tells about George saying, hey, would you like to, you know, play this role again when you're, 70 or 60 or whatever, kind of in jest. And I think at one time he did consider it.
Yeah,
but then I think once he realized how long these films take to make, how much they take out of him, to me, if you want the honest truth, the tombstone on the episode 7, 8, 9 was erected with the Zahn books.
Yeah.
That was the tombstone.
Yeah.
As long as the EU continues to flourish and continues to box the storyline in, there's not going to be any need for episode 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Well, I think when he originally set out to do this, and he's always talked about this, he's always thought of it as a kind of the Saturday morning serial adventure, like Flash Gordon. So I think that was kind of always his vision, is that each episode is another chapter.
Right.
And I think he's kind of made the movies to that end, following the story of Darth Vader, and that's the one that he really wanted to tell. And he knows that it kind of ends with Vader's death at the end of Return of the Jedi. So I think he, when he kind of reevaluated the story and realized, okay, that's the crux of the story, that's where he wanted to follow with it, and that's kind of how he's gone after it. And
I agree.
That's where it's going to fall in.
I agree. I think you're exactly right. I think at one point he saw Luke Skywalker as the main character. I think he saw him as the focus.
Yep.
And then I think this sequel trilogy that we've never gotten to see was about him, taking the mantle of Obi-Wan and Yoda. And we saw this stuff all play out in the novels, in the comics. So, I mean, the material's there, and like Dean says, I mean, Shane says, it's all really good stuff, and we'd love to see it on screen. personally, I'd rather a sequel trilogy and Lucas say, I know there's all this EU stuff, but I'm going to do my sequel trilogy, and it's gonna have all the main people in it, and, sorry about your luck.
Of course you would.
Yeah, of course I would. That's how I'd rather have it. But that's not realistic, and that's not going to happen.
No.
So I'm perfectly content with the stories that are there. And, I have railed about the EU and said, it's going to implode and blah, blah, blah. And while I still believe that that's true to an extent, it still gives you a wide variety of stories to pick and choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And, choose your own continuity. Choose your own canon.
Right.
Choose to believe what you want to believe, and it's a big universe, and there's room in it for everybody.
Well said. Well said, my friend.
But I, as much as I would love to say that we're going to see something in a TV show or film that post-dates Return of the Jedi, gosh, I just don't think it's ever going to happen.
No, probably not.
Not that there's not more Star Wars. Obviously, clearly there is. But I think, like he said, the Skywalker story is over, except for maybe some Clone Wars stuff that we'll see in the the animated series.
Yeah.
Wow. This was a long one.
Well, apologies. We knew it from the start.
Yep. Apologies for those of you who this show went a little too long for you, but we know when we take a week off that we've got, we always have...
Got a lot to cover.
Lots to cover, and we were glad we got some great phone calls, some great questions. Make sure you are here next week, not for the regular scheduled Force Cast, but for an exclusive live interview with Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer, authors of the Star Wars Vault. It's going to be really, really cool and a lot of fun, so make sure you bring some good questions. If you can't be here live, email us, podcast@theforce.net. And for those of you that are talk show veterans, make sure you help out the newbies, and there will be a lot of newbies definitely on the chat next week.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. So anyway, you want to be part of the action here? You can do so. You can join us live every Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a taping of the Force Cast. Or you can download us via iTunes. Make sure you're downloading the Force Cast, not Force Cast Live. There is, I think, a feed for Force Cast Live, but the audio quality is pretty poor. So you want to make sure that you're getting the feed from theforce.net or rebelscum.com. Look us up on iTunes, like I said, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how different the show sounds if your only experience is it. So, and if you want to email us just regular feedback, you can do so, podcast@theforce.net. Pete, if you'd like to leave a voicemail,
it's 330-871-4TFN.
Amazing.
It's only taken me a year to figure that out.
Right.
And remember it. I also put that next to the code to my locker.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you to those of you in Talk Shoe and those of you that listen every week. We appreciate it. Thanks to Jimmy Mack, Dustin Roberts, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, and the whole gang at TheForce.net Rebel Scum. Thank you to my partner in crime, Master Nadel.
And I have to say thank you to Jimmy Mack, Jay, Jedi Babem, and Jade Jedi for this week's secret word. If you want to know what that's all about, go ahead and check out rebelscum.com. Check out our forums, the weekly Force Cast, under the miscellaneous section. So check
right.
that out.
Where else would you put us?
Yeah, exactly. We are, again, always miscellaneous. So
that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you, guys. We love you. We're out of here. For the Force Cast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.